case 7 for the day, Manual Wright versus Efficient Lighting Systems. Mr. Gibbons.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Your Honors, may it please the Court. My name is Philip Gibbons. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Haskin, Louder & LaRue in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I appear here today on behalf of the appellant, Emmanuel Wright. The appellee, Efficient Lighting Systems, claims that it fired Mr. Wright because he didn't perform any work on the afternoon of February 4, 2000. According to Efficient's owner, Sean Smith, he received a complaint that Mr. Wright's work crew sat around and read the newspaper all afternoon. Our appeal focuses on the district court's finding as an undisputed fact that Mr. Wright indeed performed no work that day on the job site. This factual
that they thought that the very important customer told them that that had occurred.
Correct.
Whether it did or not, we don't know. Maybe Wright did some work that day, but the report was from this very good customer that these people had just sat around all day.
Correct.
That was the report that they acted on.
Correct. And what that makes this case is a reasonable belief case. Whether or not the owner of the company, Sean Smith, could have a reasonable belief as to whether that report was correct. And the answer to that question is no. That day, Mr. Wright was on the job site, and he was waiting to hear from the owner of the company concerning certain equipment that was needed on the job site. The day before, the owner of the company had delivered a revised blueprint to the site, and that blueprint required additional equipment to be brought out and installed there. While Mr. Wright was waiting for the equipment to come, or for the call from the owner of the company, he spent the afternoon reviewing the revised blueprint, trying to determine installation locations. He familiarized himself with installation procedures for equipment that was called for by the revised blueprint for which he hadn't installed before. And he also inspected installation work that had already been completed, but that he thought was not in compliance with the revised blueprint, that it had been installed incorrectly as a result of this revised blueprint. One other thing that occurred out on the job site that afternoon is he fielded several telephone calls from a coworker regarding another job site that Mr. Wright was familiar with. The district court found that even if Mr. Wright performed these activities, it was still undisputed that he performed no actual work on the site. And I think what this finding assumes is that Mr. Wright's job involves only physical tasks. And the problem with this finding would be that Mr. Wright was a lead man, and the district court found that Efficient Lighting Systems could properly hold Mr. Wright to a higher standard because of his position as a lead man. That position carried with it additional responsibilities, leadership responsibilities, and other duties. And I think implicit in this finding is that Mr. Wright's job not only would include physical tasks, but also these mental tasks or a cerebral component as a lead person. And if we look at what occurred that day on the job site, and also look at Sean Smith's testimony, Mr. Wright's activities with regard to the revised blueprint should not have been suspect, and they weren't out of the ordinary. And the reason for this is when Mr. Smith brought the revised blueprint out, one of the things they noticed right away is that the revised blueprint had different codes on it, and as a result of this, Mr. Wright had to go and reinstall 25 smoke detectors. He had to reprogram them. And Mr. Smith testified that this process was normal troubleshooting, something that was part of every job. And that's no different from what Mr. Wright is saying that he did when he reviewed the revised blueprint and found additional prior installations that had been done incorrectly that needed to be corrected as a result of this revised blueprint. Given these facts, the district court should have concluded that Mr. Wright did indeed perform work that day. And pursuant to the summary judgment standard, that inference should have been drawn in favor of Mr. Wright, and there should have been a finding that he performed actual work. Had that finding been made, then the question would have been, did Efficient have a reasonable belief as to whether or not Mr. Wright performed work? And as I started to answer before, the answer is no. It's undisputed that the general contractor did complain and state that these individuals did no work. But approximately an hour before Mr. Smith received that call from the general contractor, Mr. Wright had a conversation with Mr. Smith where Mr. Wright described the work he did that afternoon. And he told Mr. Smith that he had spent the afternoon reviewing the revised print, that he had discovered portions of the installation that had been performed incorrectly, that he had inspected and quit equipment that he was unfamiliar with, that he needed to discuss further with him because he had questions about this installation. And the record doesn't show any indication that Mr. Smith was angry with this report. What the record shows is that Mr. Smith told Mr. Wright he would meet with him first thing Monday morning before the start of work at 7 a.m. to discuss these issues. Given this conversation with Mr. Smith, there's no way that he could have a reasonable belief that Mr. Wright did no work because he had independent personal knowledge of what Mr. Wright did on the job site. This revised blueprint had just been delivered the afternoon before. So these items or issues that Mr. Wright discovered in it couldn't have been discovered prior to the revised blueprint being delivered to the job site. And I think more importantly, there would be no reason for Mr. Smith to tell Mr. Wright, I'll meet with you to discuss these things on Monday morning if there wasn't something that needed to be remedied out there. And my position is that if the district court had made these findings, one, that Mr. Wright had performed work that day, and two, that there was no reasonable belief or that we had rebutted the reasonable belief of Mr. Smith concerning whether or not he could believe that Mr. Wright performed work, we would have had a very different result in this case. It would have affected both Mr. Wright's prima facie case and pretext argument for his race discrimination claim, as well as his burden of proof on the retaliation claim. If we look first at his prima facie case for the race discrimination claim, I don't think there's any dispute that the first three elements would be satisfied. Mr. Wright was African American. Mr. Smith testified his deposition that Wright was an average worker, and Mr. Wright was fired. So the only issue would be the fourth prong. And in this case, the district court found that Mr. Wright could not demonstrate that similarly situated employees were treated more favorably. It may be more accurate to find that, or to state that the district court found that there were no similarly situated employees. It's a company of, I think, about 27 people. There were only a handful of lead men and very few instances where people were disciplined. But the problem, I think, with the district court's finding is that the district court assumed that Mr. Wright was guilty of misconduct and he compared him as a guilty party with the treatment of other guilty parties. And the court should have looked at this in the context of the facts of this case. For purposes of our appeal, what we've done is we've confined our analysis to one other leadman, Mr. Reddick, and we also proposed an alternative method for proving the fourth element of our prima facie case, given that the district court found that that no similarly situated individuals existed. If we look first at Mr. Reddick, who was the individual, he was a leadman who falsified his workers' compensation claim. Efficient has an employee handbook where it categorized different levels of misconduct with different levels of discipline. And the violation that Mr. Reddick was accused of was in the same category as the violation that Mr. Wright was accused of. Mr. Smith testified that an employee who violated any of the rules in that category would be subject to termination, would be terminated. Yet Mr. Wright was the only individual who was fired. Mr. Reddick was not fired. He wasn't suspended. In fact, when Mr. Smith testified in his deposition, he couldn't recall if Mr. Reddick had even been disciplined. I think there's three ways that Mr. Reddick was treated more favorably than Mr. Wright when we look at the conduct of the two individuals. And if we look at the conduct correctly as to what Mr. Wright actually did that day, rather than looking at him as a person who didn't perform any work whatsoever. And it's clear that Mr. Wright's conduct is far less severe than Mr. Reddick. Yet, Mr. Reddick was not wrongly accused of violating a work rule. I see my time is up.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Thank you.
May it please the court.
Good morning.
Counsel.
My name is David Gray. I represent the Appalachian Fish and Lighting System.
I would like to focus, as the court noted, on whether or not Mr. Wright did establish that the reason stated for his termination was a pretext. Whether or not Mr. Wright actually performed any work at the prison work site is not material to the legal analysis of this case. The undisputed facts are that Mr. Wright was a senior...
Ms. Smith's perception of events cannot be easily reconciled. It looks perhaps inconsistent with what he knew Wright was doing there. Why shouldn't the jury get to decide that?
Well, I think, Your Honor, if let's focus on those facts. He first of all gets a phone call from Mr. Wright describing, I looked at the blueprints, we have a problem here on the job. Mr. Wright also wanted to talk about two of his coworkers. They agreed they'd talk on Monday. An hour later, he gets an irate call from his customer saying, what happened here? You guys were sitting around all day. He doesn't leave it there, though. Now he calls Mr. Turk, one of the co-employees. And he says, Mr. Turk, what happened? Did you guys do any work out there? And Mr. Turk, an admission against his own self-interest, said, no, boss, we didn't. We sat around all day. At that point, he calls Mr. Wright at home. On a Friday evening, Mr. Wright says, I'm cooking dinner, I can't talk now. But he did deny that he didn't do any work. He denied what Mr. McHarrig, the project manager, had said. At that point, Mr. Smith decides to terminate him. He has two independent people telling him no work was done. He has Mr. Wright denying it. Right or wrong, there is no pretext in that decision. And that's what Mr. Wright would have to show this court, that Mr. Smith was lying, was being dishonest, was covering up his real reason. That's not possible. He's got a customer who's mad. Why does the customer care? The customer has to move in. He has to get a certificate of compliance before he can charge his customer, his owner. So there is nothing inherently or...
Well, it looks to me that there's a fairly blurry line here between who's the boss and who's the workers on these jobs. And Wright is the only African-American. And he's the only one that gets fired under these circumstances. It's a close case.
I think, in that, first of all, Your Honor, it isn't a large pool we're looking at here. There were three efficient lighting employees at the time that afternoon. One of them walked off the job, and I don't think the record indicates what happened to her, Christine Norris. I'm not familiar that there is in the record what happened with her. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I think that is correct. I think the record is silent as to what happened to her. That is correct. But I believe the record is silent in that regard as well. It does not indicate that he was fired. That is correct, and that person did confess his sin, and that is one difference between he and Mr. Wright.
Yeah, but there still seems to be he met the test with respect to a similarly situated individual, particularly when it says that for that kind of conduct, one would be
Your Honor, even if he had met the test, the fourth prong of the McDonnell-Douglas test, he still has not refuted the statement by Mr. Smith, non-discriminatory reason for his termination, that they did not perform any work on the job site. It is unquestioned that Mr. Wright was the most senior person at the job site, in fact, was giving direction to the other employees. It is also unquestioned that there is no pretext has been shown that there is anything inherently dishonest or untruthful about Mr. Smith's stated reason for the termination. And I think that is the fallacy in the appellant's argument on that point. I think that also goes to the retaliation claim as well. There cannot be shown the causal connection required of him in bringing this action. Unless the court has any further questions, I thank you.
No. Thank you. Mr. Gray, your time has expired. Mr. Gibbons, your time has expired. We're ready to go to case 8.